Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. As we sing that word, Alleluia, it's an old Hebrew word of worship. Translated in English, it's praise the Lord. And as we were singing Alleluia, 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 we were saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. At the heart of worship, it's not about us. It's not to us. The worship, the glory, the power, the majesty is not to us, but it's to God. I'm so glad you're here today as we continue our worship series on the Magnik, the backwards kingdom of God. This is a sermon series where we kind of compare and contrast the world in which we live, the desires, the passions, the motivations that the world puts before us, and we compare that to the kingdom that Jesus has invited us to be a part of, the kingdom where he says, follow me, the kingdom where Jesus shows us what it means to love as he laid down his life for you and for me. And so the last few weeks, we've been looking about and talking about how God's kingdom, more is less and less is more. It's not about the possessions that we have, but it's about this relationship we have with God. We also seek to put others first, not lording over others, but how can we serve to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world? We also to become great. Jesus says, whoever wants to be greatest among you must be a servant. That we actually descend into greatness. And we remembered how Jesus humbled himself. That the God through whom all things were made humbled himself and descended to become a human being. God wrapped in human flesh. Last week, we talked about how in God's kingdom, generosity flows. As we receive so many blessings from God, that generosity fills our cup and flows over into the lives of others. And so today, we talk about how in God's kingdom, the glory, the worship, is not to us, but to God. I don't know about you, but I've heard some people when they talk about worship, especially if they're considering going and to another church or church shopping, they'll tell their friends, sometimes it gets to me, you know, Pastor, I'm not getting anything out of worship. You know, have you ever heard that or have you ever thought that? I'm just not getting anything out of worship. And part of worship is we receive God's gifts. We are reminded through his word and through his sacraments of his love, his forgiveness, his grace. But also worship, it's not about us. It's about an opportunity to praise God, to give him the glory and the honor. The worship is not to us, but it's God. And so we come and we give our hearts to the Lord. When Johann Sebastian Bach, he talked about worship. He talked about music within worship. And he actually says this. When considering worship music, all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub. Isn't that a great word, hubbub? And so, you know, when we worship, if we're not worshiping God, if it's not for his glory, it's just music. Or maybe even worse, it's a distraction. Instead of pointing to the Lord, it's pointing to ourselves. He also, when he wrote a piece of music, Bach, at the very beginning of his piece, would put the letters JJ, Jesus Juva, which means Jesus, help us. And at the end of his music, he would put the initials SDG, Soli Dia Grazia. Does anybody, you guys recognize that if you brushed up on your Latin before coming to church today? To God alone be the glory. And I love that about Bach, who's just a wonderful composer of music. Everything that he wrote, it wasn't about him, but to God. To God be the glory. And so as we think about worship today, I think at the heart of this is our relationship with God. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 1, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When Paul says this, his whole life, his whole body, all that he is, who does he want to be exalted? God, Christ. And he's deliberating whether he should continue his ministry or maybe just kind of give up and you know, if death would be better. But he recognizes that when we live in Christ. And when we die in Christ. There's gain in being with Christ. But while we're here in this life, we want to live for the sake of Jesus Christ. I really believe at the heart of worship, there's two things. Number one, being satisfied in God. Your hope, your peace, your joy, your life comes from God. And there's this satisfaction that comes from Him alone. And when you're satisfied in God, you can see that you have a role to play, an opportunity to be used by God, that when you come to worship, it's yes, to be satisfied, to be refreshed, but also to say, God, how can I serve someone else? How can I share a smile, a hug, an encouraging word? Maybe today you're here at church not to get something out of my message. I hope that you do, all right? But maybe God brought you here to have a conversation with somebody else here. To say, really, I want to know, how are you doing? Maybe it's somebody you know really well. Maybe there's somebody here in the sanctuary that you don't know. You've looked at them, you've seen them, but you don't really know them. Maybe God is calling you and leading you to know that you are satisfied in Christ so that you can reach out, being refreshed by Him. And the second thing I think that's at the heart of the worship is cherishing, desiring Christ as gain above all things. Knowing that being in Christ is the greatest gift you can have, the greatest gift you can receive. And so I really want to kind of dig a little bit deeper now into this passage from Romans chapter 12 and kind of look at this piece by piece as Paul encourages the Christians in Rome, but also to us to offer our lives as living sacrifices to God. And so Paul begins these two verses by saying, therefore means everything that has come before. Now I want to tell you, I want to urge you, I implore you, I exhort you, all right? You can't say I command you, because worship is something that we choose. It's a response to God. But he says, I urge you in view of God's mercy. Worship always begins in view of God's mercy, doesn't it? Worship begins with God doing something on our behalf. And if you have nothing else to do this afternoon, I want to encourage you that the whole first 11 chapters of Romans, they're all about God's mercy. You find the great word of justification there in Romans, that when God looks at us in Christ, he sees us just as if we'd never sinned. It talks about how we are in Christ, made God's children, co-heirs with Christ of all things, that we can even call up to our heavenly Father and say, Abba, Daddy. It's this adoption that Paul talks about, that we have been brought into God's family, his beloved sons and daughters. He talks about if God is for us, who can be against us? How nothing can separate us from the love of Christ that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so now he says, I urge you, When you consider everything that God has done for you, all of his mercy poured out to you as Jesus Christ gave up his life for you on the cross, offer your bodies as a what? As a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I think about this, you know, not to us. We live not for ourselves, but we live for God. This phrase, living sacrifice, is interesting. Because in the Hebrew, you know, this is a Christianity following Christ started something new. In the Old Testament, when you think about a sacrifice, do you think of something living or something dead? You think of something dead, right? You offer a sacrifice, and it's sacrificed on the altar. You bring it before the Lord, and there's a giving, and it often includes, you know, the death of a bull or a lamb or a dove. As you think about this lamb on the altar, the reason that we can offer a living sacrifice is because God sent his son Jesus to be the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Jesus sacrificed his life, his body for us on the cross. He died the death we deserve and was placed in the tomb. But did Jesus stay dead? No. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. For the lamb that was sacrificed is alive. And so now we can be a living sacrifice to God. And when we live our lives loving as Jesus loved, living not for ourselves but for others, all these things we've talked about in God's Magdic, his backwards kingdom, others first, you know, to God be the glory, descending into greatness through serving. All of these things are a spiritual act of worship. We're living and sacrificing all that we are so that God gets the glory, that our lives are a reflection of God. But this is hard. In this world in which we live, it's not always easy to worship spiritually. And so we're said, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. In this world, it's about you. In this world, it's about worshiping other things, having other idols. But God says, the glory belongs to me. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, be changed. This metamorphosis, when you think of a butterfly changing from a caterpillar, dying, if you will, in the cocoon. And when they come out of that cocoon, are they a caterpillar anymore? They're a new creation. Those beautiful butterflies flying were used to be an ugly caterpillar. God has taken us, ugly, sinful human beings. And in Christ, we have died to our sin. And now we are our new creation. Beautiful because we are in Christ. And when we're in Christ, when we're transformed, we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. And I think this is a challenge in our everyday life. All right, God, what do you want me to do? What's right? What's wrong? The world will say, you know, just whatever feels right, whatever seems good to you, or as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. Have you ever heard that? All right, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else, just do whatever you think is right. But God has revealed his will to us through his word, through his spirit, whom he's placed in our heart. So that part of our transformation is that daily dying of our old sinful Adam to allow Christ to arise anew in us. So that on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all of our days are one of worship, where our lives give God the glory. And I really think that when we think about this renewing of the mind, it's not about right thinking, but it's about the right valuing. For example, how many of you have ever mined for gold, or just, you know, panned for gold in a little creek or something, and you do that? I remember I went on a trip to Alaska, and one of the couples that we stayed with just had these little vials, and there were some specks of gold in them. And they just handed them to us, and it just, all right. Now, what is that value of the gold? If I could train someone to you know, pan for gold and just tell them this is what to look for, you know, it's bright, it's shiny, it's kind of soft. If you find any of it, throw it in the bag, and I'll pay you $10 an hour. All right, just whatever you find, throw it in the bag, and what if they find a lot of gold, and not just little flecks, but nuggets of gold? They might be thinking, well, this is more valuable, this job. But you have to know the value of what you're doing, of what that substance is. And so for us, knowing and testing God's will is knowing the value of following God, that it makes all the difference in this world as God uses us to worship Him. We are a living sacrifice. I've heard that worship can sometimes be the best form of evangelism. Have you ever heard that? Definitely not by Lutherans, all right? Maybe, because, you know, when you come to Lutheran worship, the music is majestic, right? The songs and the hymns, if you're comfortable and familiar with it. Lutherans, are we very joyful in our worship? Are we excited as we would be cheering on for the Browns or the Cornhuskers or the Buckeyes? Probably some of you thought as I ran in here with my cornhead, he should be so cool. He's too loud. He's too excited. This is church, you know. What would it look like if we had that same passion and excitement on a Sunday morning as we do for a football game? As a few years ago when my kids were in soccer, these little kids soccer up at the Summit soccer fields, I get done with church, and then I would go to the real church, all right, the soccer field, where people worshiped soccer. And you hear these moms and these dads and these grandpas and aunts and uncles cheering on these 4 and 5 years old, go, Johnny, go! The other way, you know. It was... But it's what brought them all together, and they were vocal and so enthusiastic about it, and they kept coming back week after week. And then I thought, well, how do we get people here at church? That excitement, that joy that when they come in, I think we have a great warming congregation, but how do we live with that joy to be a living sacrifice? I think it starts when you love the Lord your God with your whole self, with your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. When we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom, what's happening up there, happen down here. We also know that we only can serve one master, one God. That if we have everything on this earth but lose our soul, we have nothing. But if we turn from this world and we aren't conformed to this world and we hate the sin of this world, God says, love me and you will have eternal life. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, may your lives be one of living worship. May you carry a song in your heart. May you remember always that you are in Christ and that when we come together, maybe smile when you sing, you know? Maybe respond, you know, when we say, Christ is risen, we can say, He is risen indeed with hallelujah, with this passion and enthusiasm because we have a God who died, who rose again, who's coming back. And that makes all the difference in our lives. To him be the glory. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your backwards kingdom where our lives, it's not about us, but it's about you, that you can get all the glory. Sometimes, Lord, it's easy to be swept away by the love of this world, by the passions of others, by just being comfortable instead of called. Help us, Lord, to not just think it's about me, but it's about serving. It's about you getting the glory. Use us today and every day of the week that our lives may be a reflection of Christ, being renewed, O Lord, by the transferring of our mind, a living sacrifice. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Please rise.
Jesus, remember.